Welcome to Holistic Soundbites, the podcast to feed your craving for learning. Extra, extra, hear all about it. I'm Ryan, and I'm bringing to you the hottest news of the press. Are you verbose? Sociable? Eloquent? I've got great news for you. You can be a leader. Are you quiet? Shy? Timid? I've also got great news for you. You too can be a leader. This marathon episode of our By Youth for Youth series was basted, broiled, and baked by three of our youngest and brightest minds. Get ready to go on an emotional roller coaster as Joey, Ling, and Melody talk through vulnerable personal experiences and laugh along as they talk through hypothetical scenarios before they wrap it all up with the three L's of quiet leadership.
Hello everyone, I'm Joey, and with me, I have Ling and Melody. First of all, welcome to the Holistic Soundbites series. Thank you for taking the time to listen to us. Today, I want to talk about an impactful experience that had happened many years back and had played a significant role in shaping my perspective. It was this experience that made me lose faith in my leadership abilities initially, but eventually allowed me to see the full picture clearly and regain my confidence and the assurance that I indeed was capable of leading in my own right. So back when I was in lower secondary, I was a very shy and introverted girl. Not that I have entirely broken out of that introverted shell, but back then, I was so introverted to the point that I barely spoke to others and only interacted with a small select group of friends whom I found to be approachable and not too scary looking. The most common remarks that teachers wrote in my report card were along the lines of, Joey needs to speak up more as the geography representative, Joey is too quiet and needs to contribute more to class discussions, and Joey is a very shy student. And such comments did not just pertain to the classroom, but also to my co-curricular activities. I vividly remember this very day in secondary 2, when my co-curricular activity seniors held a farewell party for the graduating batch, and as a parting gift, the seniors gave cards out to everyone in our batch to thank us for being sporting juniors. It was not the event itself that was memorable, but rather the contents of the card that one of my seniors gave to me. So on the card, the senior wrote, Joey, you really need to speak up more. You are going to be a senior leading the CCA very soon, and you cannot be so quiet anymore. And this message really stuck with me, mainly because it made me feel a stinging sense of guilt and inadequacy. While I understood that the senior was probably well-meaning and simply wanted me to step out of my comfort zone and interact more with others, it bothered me to think that in being a leader and guiding my juniors, I had to be extroverted, outgoing, and assertive. I had to be something that I wasn't, and I had to try to fit myself into this fixed mold of what a leader should be like, so as to appear as a senior who was more in control, reliable, and looked up to by others. And that thought made me a little sad, and even a little puzzled. I felt that I was already being a good senior to my juniors by occasionally giving them words of encouragement and patiently showing them the ropes. Why did leaders have to be extroverted and all about that talk? Why couldn't leaders be quiet individuals who let their powerful actions speak volumes about their abilities? Why was there a fixed, rigid idea of what leadership was? I'm sure that some of my fellow introverted friends out there feel the same way as I do and have experienced similar struggles. I do agree that being outgoing means that the propensity of enabling your words to influence others and enact change is high, and you can be a good leader in that sense. But what I'm saying here is that we should allow for alternative interpretations of what leadership is, instead of confining ourselves to that fixed perspective that leaders must be extroverted, dominant, and assertive. And the reason why we think it is so important to consider these new perspectives on the concept and meaning of leadership is because we think and recognize that everyone is capable of being a leader in his or her own way. Not everyone gravitates towards words and being loud and making a change. sometimes, others choose to express their views and take a stand through their actions, and that's perfectly okay. We should not shame others for the different leadership approaches that they may take. For many years, we have subconsciously subscribed to the great man leader stereotype that emerged as a result of the great man theory, which was conceived by a historian, Thomas Carlyle, in 1841. So in this great man theory, it was said that many of the world's most influential and powerful leaders were men who exhibited traits of intelligence, masculinity, adjustment, dominance, extroversion, and conservatism. Under this theory, scholars have also argued that all the results produced are the results of the great man leader, and the great man leader only, which pushes the narrative that leadership is all about an extroverted individual being the only one who holds power in driving effective and tangible change. While it may be true that the great man leader might be the one championing change, we have to be careful of believing in the great man theory too religiously, because doing so leads to a risk of the great man leader becoming arrogant and eventually self-serving. The development of such traits then masks the effectiveness of the leader, no matter how charismatic he or she may be. So to illustrate this point, we'll now be sharing an interesting and entertaining story about a property magnate named Ronald Bump, whom many find to be undoubtedly charming. In this very first scene, let us step into Ronald Bump's office and take a look at his pitch for a new business idea, building a fence around gated communities to segregate the residents from slum dwellers. While he thinks that his pitch has gone amazingly well, some of his colleagues have different ideas.
So, I want to build a big and tall fence around Bump Street, around the Bump residences and our Bump Hotel. I want our residents and guests to be protected from the dirty and bad slums nearby. I do not want any slum dwellers getting near our great Bump Hotel, because they do not deserve to be there. I do not like these people at all. I think this idea is great, and every single Bump resident and Bump Hotel guest out there will be thanking me for it.
Sir, but I think...
Alexis, no but. I think my idea is perfect, and I do not see anything wrong with it at all. In fact, when I went out for lunch just now, I already told some residents about my plan, and they said this idea was great. They all hugged me and said I was an amazing planner. So, I do not think you need to give me any opinions at all, because yours does not matter.
But sir, the town council will not be happy with our plan. They'll be saying that we are causing further divide and fragmenting society.
No, Alexis, I am not. I think these dwellers are the ones causing divide. They are the ones causing trouble to me. If the slums were not there, I would already have built so many of my condominiums and hotels. With my idea, I can get them all away from me and they will not be there to disturb me at all. So, I think that the discussion is done. My idea is perfect and all of you are going to help me execute it. I want everyone to look at me and thank me for my fabulous plan.
After Ronald Bump has made his pitch, he decides to go on Twitter, his favourite social media platform. He loves how he can normally rant about his bad day and talk about his fantastic ideas freely. Or so he thinks.
So, let me just type this here. Today was a great day. I thought of the best plan ever to build a big, big fence around Bump Street, the Bump Residences, and the Bump Hotel. In fact, I want to establish this area as the Bump Town, where only my Bumpians can access it. If any bad person tries to come in and disturb me, I'll deploy my wonderful security advisor and my fine Bump security guards to deal with them. Okay, done. Time to post this and get my favorite Big Mac. Jane, come here. Help me buy a Big Mac.
Wait, sir, look at this. Twitter has just flagged your tweet and labeled it as violent. Now, no one can even view it or retweet it. What are we going to do?
What? How can this happen to me? There is nothing wrong with my tweet at all. Jane, go and email Twitter now. Tell them that I'm very unhappy with my tweet being flagged, as there is nothing wrong with it. It's not even violent. Go now. Horrible Twitter. How dare they do this to me? I've gone years of tweeting the same thing, and nothing has happened. What is wrong with them? It is my Twitter account. Why should they care?
The next morning, Ronald Bump goes to work happily, his tweet having been unflagged as a result of his incessant pestering and threats to tear down the Twitter building, which happens to be his property as well. However, an imminent challenge awaits.
Good morning, sir. I hope you had a good night's rest.
Indeed, Jane. I feel great right now. I heard that a Mr. Kung from the K&K Property Group wants to see me.
Yes, sir. He says that he wants to see you urgently.
Tell him to hurry up. I'm a very busy man and I do not like wasting time on people who are not that important. I want to start building the fence soon.
Alright, sir. I'll tell him to make his meeting short.
Good morning, Mr. Bump. I'm Kum Seng Yan, CEO of the K&K Property Group. Nice to meet you.
Good morning, Mr. Kum. What do you want from me today? Tell me quickly. I want to start my work soon.
So, I heard from my subordinates that you're planning to build a fence around Bump Street and build a Bump Town?
Yes, Mr. Kum. I thought of this idea yesterday. I think it is one of the greatest ideas I've come up with. With this Bump Town, Bump residents and Bump Hotel guests can enjoy the best facilities, and Bump Town will only grow bigger and bigger, and I can make millions and millions every year.
That indeed sounds like a great idea. But Mr. Bump, I'm afraid to inform you that my K&K group has already proceeded with building a fence around our K&K residences and hotels. And we've also proceeded with establishing a Kum Town. So, Mr. Bump, I want to ask you if you're purposely trying to compete with us. Because if so, I want to let you know that I am not afraid of you and your tactics, because Kum Town will definitely be better. And if you continue to copy my group's ideas, I'll not hesitate to engage a lawyer.
That's fake news. I thought of these ideas by myself. Also, Bump Town will be the biggest and the best, because no one builds fences and towns better than I do. Your Kum Town and K&K group are the ones trying to copy my ideas and compete with me. Jane?
Yes, sir?
Call the security guards to get Mr. Kum out of my office. He's here to disturb me and cause trouble to me.
Alright, sir.
No need. I will escort myself out. But Mr. Bump, I hope you remember what I've said today. If you continue to blatantly leech ideas off of other groups, and especially my Kum group, I'll not be afraid to take action.
So be it. These great ideas are mine, and I am not afraid of you. Even if you sue me, I have all of my supporters and workers here who agree with my ideas. Everyone loves me.
So from this little story, I hope that all of you have seen clearly enough that being extroverted and generous with your words does not always guarantee that you'll be a good, fair, and entirely effective leader. In this case, we can see how Ronald Bump, while charismatic and having his group of supporters in his Bump Town, was a leader who entirely blindsided the opinions of his co-workers and subordinates, took all the credit, and made use of threats to get what he wanted. So some of you might be wondering, if this so-called leadership ideal has turned out to be flawed and imperfect, what are the true characteristics of an ideal leader then? Do traits like dominance still apply? Well, research has shown that there's actually no fixed set of traits that a leader should possess. In fact, according to a comparison of qualitative reviews that was conducted by Judge and a few other scholars in 2002, it was revealed that the only trait common to all leaders was self-confidence, and surprisingly, the ideal leadership traits of dominance and extroversion, as identified by Carlyle, were not present at all. This shows that in reality, leaders can actually display a diverse range of characteristics, and there's no one fixed notion of what a leader should be like. If we think back about the little story that I just gave about my senior passing me the farewell card, this means that by taking the time to show my juniors how to execute certain techniques and seeking to empower them with my words of affirmation, I was being a leader. I was effectively driving change through helping them learn and imparting the core values that my co-curricular activity seniors tried so hard to help us internalize. And doing this was already in itself a powerful form of leadership. I did not have to be like and conform to the perfect image of a leader that my senior and many people around me had painted all this while. I did not have to be an extrovert who sought to gather support through my powerful words. I could simply be the introverted individual that I was and let my actions speak louder than my words in pushing others to follow my path. It is indeed sad that it took so many years and many instances of self-doubt to realize this pertinent message. But it's also enlightening to know that it simply took two little encounters to learn this impactful lesson and discover the magical and powerful world of quiet leadership. I know that quiet leadership sounds like a paradox in itself, considering that most of us commonly associate leadership with being outgoing and far from soft-spoken, as we have mentioned earlier. And I also used to doubt myself, questioning if I would ever be a good leader who have the ability to make impassioned speeches to those under my charge, given that speaking in front of large groups was already a thought that I found scary to entertain. But quiet leadership is a thing, and in fact, it is a valuable and important form of leadership that quashes all stereotypes that only loud individuals can be good leaders. Quiet leadership shows all of us that people at all levels, ranks, and positions of power can have the ability to take action, enact change, and be leaders in their own right. Quiet leadership shows all of us that sometimes, through exercising caution in our actions and being sensitive and careful in potentially tricky situations, we can also be influencing others. So, not so long ago, when I was still in junior college, I had to work alongside four of my classmates for project work, which I'm sure those who have attended junior college know about. So, many people have often associated project work with torture, awkwardness, and even pain, given that we are grouped randomly and placed with classmates whom we might not be close to. And for me, I certainly felt that sense of awkwardness as well, because out of my entire group, not only was there only one girl I spoke to who was my friend, there were also two student counsellors, one of whom was known to be extremely outspoken and, in short, the opposite of who I was. In her, I saw things that I was not. I saw the way she spoke with thorough passion and zest when she was pitching her ideas. I saw the way she enthusiastically instructed us, "Hey, do your work leh, our report is due on Tuesday." But most importantly, I saw in her the great man leader ideal, the extroverted and charismatic figure I knew I would never live up to. At times, I wondered so much about how she could even be such a great leader. Was it something innate? Was it due to the fact that her parents were leaders in their own fields as well? But I came to know of quiet leadership soon enough, not immediately after project work ended, but rather on the day of our graduation, when we had to say our goodbyes and bid farewell to each other. So during our farewell ceremony, my classmates gave cards out to each other, and I received a card from that student counsellor, which I was slightly surprised by, considering that we were not the closest of classmates and friends. And if you are thinking that this sounds uncannily similar to my earlier encounter with the senior, well, this incident ended very differently. So when I reached home after the ceremony and I started going through the cards that I had received, I found that this student counsellor had written a message that also really stuck with me, but for an entirely different reason. In this card, she wrote, "Joey, I think you're quite soft-spoken, but I want you to know that you have a quiet confidence that me and many others find inspiring. I've seen the way you think carefully and exercise empathy before taking action, and the thought you put into crafting your ideas, which I find are very creative. I hope that you will continue to show this side of you to others more often, because it really does inspire people like me to take a step back and think more carefully and thoughtfully when we lead. In short, thank you for inspiring me." And I was truly shocked. All the while, I never thought that my quietness and reticence would be picked up on by others as a positive trait, and let alone be deemed as inspiring. But thanks to the student counsellor, I realised that in being introverted, letting my actions do the talking and thinking before I jumped into taking action, I was subtly influencing others to exercise traits of carefulness, thoughtfulness, and patience. And that in itself was a powerful form of leadership that many often neglected, but was actually very instrumental in bringing about real change. I believe that many of us here have also exhibited such forms of leadership before, but have not been aware that such actions are indeed a display of leadership. Some of you might still be doubtful as well that we are being effective leaders through exhibiting the tenets of quiet leadership, such as buying time before galvanizing action, or even reminding ourselves to not overestimate how much we know about potentially murky and uncertain situations. These tenets seem more like traits of followers and team members, and not so much leaders who are often certain and assertive in their actions. So that brings me to the second encounter that occurred, which made me realize the sheer effectiveness of quiet leadership. I believe we all know about the recent Black Lives Matter movement and all that debate about police brutality against protesters and rioters. So I've been deeply engaged in equally deep discussions with some of my friends about whether all cops were bad was a thing. And in my conversation with one other friend, she sent me a trending post about how some leaders had turned to non-violent and peaceful protests in the past to call for change. So one such magnanimous figure was none other than Martin Luther King, who intentionally made use of non-violent protests to emphasize the sheer brutality of the state. And when we look at these examples of quiet leaders who let their actions impact others and influence others, I realized that I could strive to be like them. Maybe not to the point that I advocate for a huge cause and garner a large following, but instead, to the point that I enable those around me to fight alongside me for our common goals and aims, and to see and cherish the same values that I do. Don't you think that's heroic? At this point in time, some of us might be wondering, so how do we seek to leverage on quiet leadership and empower others through our actions? How do we know that our actions have a significant impact on those around us, and how do we know that our actions are noticed by others? Of course, I acknowledge that yes, being a quiet but impactful leader is easier said than done, and at times, we might find that our actions are overpowered by others' loud voices. Hence, we will be introducing the 3L framework. With these 3Ls, we hope that all of you out there who might be feeling insecure and doubtful about your leadership abilities can find your personal voice and exert it through your thoughtful actions.
Hi everyone, I'm Ling, and as Joey mentioned just now, I'll be introducing to you the first L of the 3L framework. The first L stands for listening to others. A quiet leader is one that leads from the ground by listening to the concerns from the people around them. Therefore, you must be receptive to the needs of those around you as a quiet leader and be aware of when to step in when necessary. Listening may sound easy, and you're not wrong, but do note that listening is an active process. Just because quiet leaders are usually not in the spotlight doesn't mean they have less to do. With a variety of perspectives and comments to consider in one team, a quiet leader must be evaluative and reflective. Some of the voices are probably going to be criticisms and objections, but the ability to stay open-minded and collected to be discerning for the team is what makes quiet leaders stand out. This is where the quiet leader can actively listen, focus only on the message of the speaker to distill the meanings behind the words. By listening actively, the quiet leader can then give their teammates time and space to speak their minds and feelings, hence build an environment of trust and support within the team. Listening, in this sense, also requires the quiet leader to remain neutral and non-judgmental during the earlier part of the conversation. It also takes patience from the leader as they focus fully on their team members and their ideas. Again, active listening, as paradoxical as it sounds, is a valuable skill in a quiet leader. But there are also ways you can show and lead your speakers as you listen. Non-verbal cues, such as maintaining eye contact, keeping good posture, and refraining from distractions are actually a good way to actively show the speaker you're paying full attention to them. On the other hand, verbal cues such as positive reinforcement, reflection, and questioning also shows that you are actively trying to understand the messages given by the speaker. These cues would then help you lead your team, even from the position of an active listener. Listening is the first L that we brought up today, because it's so important to create this foundation of trust even before you lead your team as a quiet leader. When you're listening to, and not just hearing your teammates, your full attention are encouraging them to share their perspectives, which may prove to be extremely valuable for the development of the team. Now that you have learned about the first L, let's move on to the second L, which Melody would be talking to you about.
A second characteristic of quiet leaders is that they walk the walk. They lead by example. You'd be right if you guessed quiet leaders weren't just called quiet for no reason. In fact, exactly as it sounds, quiet leaders don't have to speak much, but what they don't say, they compensate through their actions. They're the epitome of the phrase, "Action speaks louder than words." I'm sure most of you have met people who don't speak much, but yet reveal themselves as the most reliable. For me, that person is my father. He was, and still is, a man of few words, but he never failed to show up when someone in the family needed him. When I wore my new pair of shoes and had a shoe bite, he was the first to notice and drove to the nearest gas station to buy me plasters. When carrying groceries, he would always be the first to grab the bags with the cans, the detergents, the milk, all the heavy stuff, and leaving my mom and I with the eggs, the snacks, and tissues. Never did he say he cared, but never did we feel like he didn't. And to me, that's what the second trait of a quiet leader is all about, the consistency between their values and their actions. In this way, quiet leaders are transparent. To understand their core values, you just have to look at how they spend their time, what they do, and how they treat the people around them. Quiet leaders are people who lead and influence through their actions. They recognize that they cannot ask of someone to do what they wouldn't do themselves, and if they expected anything of their teammates, they wouldn't compromise in their own contributions. In the same way, they adhere to team guidelines that everyone else must follow and hold themselves to high standards and accountability. When you lead by example, you create a picture of what's possible. People can look at you and say, well, if he or she can do it, I can do it too. When you lead by example, you make it easy for others to follow you. And one example of such a leader is Mahatma Gandhi. He spent most of his adult life living what he preached to others. He was committed to nonviolent resistance to protest injustice, and people followed in his footsteps. And Gandhi led India to independence because his life proved that by example it could be done. Out of the 3L framework, leading by example is probably one of the hardest qualities to achieve, but at the same time, it is a defining character that really enables quiet leaders to build an atmosphere of trust and respect with their teammates. I mean, there's not so much that's more infuriating than a hypocritical leader. So here's a checklist that you can use to start leading by example. The first is to really get your hands dirty. There's always work that's tedious, work that no one wants to touch. But as a leader, if you show your willingness to step down from your position and to help even in an area that's not your job, it will cultivate respect from your teammates. And you can, just like Gandhi, live a life that is practicing what you preach. The second thing is to follow the rules. Never bend the rules just because you are in a position of leadership, because your hypocrisy will immediately nullify any credibility you have within the team. A third is to set high expectations for yourself, because if you don't want mediocrity from your team, then you must start first by holding yourself to high standards. That is when your team will look to gain your approval by doing the same, and you can be a role model for what your team can achieve. The fourth is to really take care of yourself. The most important thing about leading by example is to reflect the work environment you want and live it out yourself first. If you want an environment of positivity, start by living out that positivity. Encourage your team, acknowledge their contributions. There are too many companies that expect employees to overwork themselves and even promote harmful manager-subordinate relationships. You need to first model balance to foster that healthy environment you want. By strengthening your own work and being accountable for your own responsibilities, you're already showing dependability at work, as people know they can rely on you to finish your portion. And from listening actively to others and trying to understand them, you now move on to working and developing yourself to the best ability, so a lot of work inward. It is one of the characteristics not so invisible in a quiet leader, as people may overlook you doing something good, but its effect is certainly undeniable in a team. When a quiet leader leads by example, they're setting the tone and the pace for the entire team itself and the people around me. Aware of this or not, the people in the team would look to the quiet leader's action as a role model and follow suit. And now, I'll be passing it back to Ling to share with us the final L of the 3L framework.
The third L in the 3L framework is leveraging on other strengths. Until this day, many people conceive leadership as a position likened to the top of the team, expecting leaders to constantly be in command and control. But this is where the theory of quiet leadership adopts a different twist. Remember what we said before? Quiet leaders are listeners and are receptive to the needs of their team. This also means that they are aware of when is the right time to step in and when it's not. As a quiet leader, you don't have to constantly be on your heels, towering over your team, enforcing commands one after another. Instead, you should recognize the strengths and weaknesses of your team allow them to flourish and take charge in areas they're confident and passionate in, and offer assistance in situations only where they struggle to progress. Quiet leaders contrast the figure of authority and dominance that great men leaders portray, because they don't crave attention, they give attention. In the same way, quiet leaders are people who enjoy working with the team and not above the team. Now, the first step to leveraging on other strengths is to be aware of other strengths in the first place. This is where the first L, listening, comes in very handy. As you listen to and observe your teammates, you would soon be able to note their areas of strengths and weaknesses. Knowing this across the team will become really helpful when you need to garner strengths and collaboration to finish a project. The second step is then to know your own strengths and the areas you need your team's help. This is where the second L, leading by example, comes in as well. As you act and lead by example, and you work on your own responsibility, you also have the chance to learn more about yourself and your working style. This self-awareness is crucial in leveraging on other strengths, as you then know exactly when and where to ask for help from your team. Lastly, when you're leveraging on other strengths, you're also giving them a chance to grow and develop. It's a great opportunity for the quiet leader to step in and encourage growth across the team, bringing your team together simply to collaborate while also being aware of your team's strengths and weaknesses is a great way for your team to grow individually, but also together. This is where the quiet leader is like the glue in the team, the linkage that brings everyone together and keeps the team steadily moving forward.
So we hope you can see that even if you are an introvert, or even if you're quiet by nature, described as others around you as shy or timid, you can still be a leader. On the other hand, if you're naturally extroverted, sociable, and enjoy leadership positions, there are still aspects of quiet leadership you can apply to hone in on your leadership skills. At the end of the day, know that regardless of what personality you have, you can be a leader today. So stop letting your excuse of "I'm too shy" or "no one would listen to me" hinder you from using your strengths and passions to influence others and make an impact. Leadership is not synonymous to being loud, and nor is leadership reserved for influencers and those who are outgoing. Like what Joey shared in her narrative, you can lead in quietness and still inspire those around you. So realize this, leadership is a choice, and it is up to you to exercise leadership in your daily life to make an impact. With that, let's recap the 3R framework once more. Listen to others actively, lead by example, and finally, leverage on other strength. And that's all for today's podcast. We hope this podcast has helped you realize that quiet leader is inside each of us. Now, be aware of the leader within you. It is time for you to go into every team and shine by practicing the 3 L's given. We wish you the best in your leadership journey, and we just want to remind you once again, to all the youths listening, that youths are leaders of today, not just tomorrow.